Dynamite by Juice Fiend, read by Mari Minx. In the bathroom, Dean pulls off his t-shirt and examines the red bruises on his upper arms, poking at them experimentally to see how sore they are, a little. He pulls the t-shirt back on before Sam comes barging in without knocking, crowding him at the sink, reaching for his toothbrush. Side by side, they wash and shave. When they're done, Sam catches Dean's eyes in the mirror and almost smiles. Before he leaves the bathroom, he leans down and kisses Dean, just above the neckline of his shirt, and mumbles, "Good morning," or, "I love you, it's all the same." Sam's lips leave a faint tingling sensation on Dean's neck, the ghost of a burn. The mirror shows no mark on his skin. In the middle of a hunt, they have a run-in with an old friend of John's, and like most of John's old friends, they didn't part on the best of terms. The guy, Fred something or another, has a few choice words to say about Winchester Sr. before he learns that the old man's dead, and then a few more suggesting he isn't all that sorry. Dean would give him the beating of his life, but Sam's looking like he's going to kill the guy, so Dean drags him out of the bar and reminds him about the werewolf they're supposed to be hunting, and the fact they've only got this one night to finish the sucker. Sam nods reluctantly and takes off to go talk to some witnesses. It sucks being the one with the conscience. No wonder Sam got tired of it. Dean finds him 4 hours later, covered in blood and guts, all of it the werewolf's, none of it Sam's. There's not so much as a scratch on him. King or two queens? Sam's knuckles brush Dean's wrist. The motel clerk's hand hovers over the key rack. Dean clears his throat. Two queens. Sam doesn't comment or bitch or frown, not even after they get inside the room. They spend the evening, what's left of it, doing what they usually do, Sam with a laptop, Dean watching TV. But when Dean climbs into bed, Sam climbs in with him. "Dude, the bed's kind of small for two people," Dean complains. Sam doesn't even reply, just wraps his arms and legs around Dean and mouths at his neck, like he couldn't be happier with the arrangement. "Don't, Sam, I just want to sleep," Dean says, cringing at his own words. "Yeah, okay," Sam says, but he shifts around a little, letting Dean feel his hard-on against the back of his thighs. Dean pretends not to notice. Sam's getting cranky. He gets restless in the bar, doesn't want to eat anything, answers in monosyllables. Dean holds out for a couple of days until he decides he's had enough. He pulls over at the side of the road, steals the book Sam's not reading, and throws it in the back seat. "Hey! What's your problem, Sam?" Sam crosses his arms, fires off an award-winning bitch face. Dean slides over to him across the seat, breathes hot in his ear. "How did you go for almost 2 years without sex?" he asks, genuinely curious. "You can't even stand it for half a week, can you?" He shoves his hand down Sam's pants before Sam can answer, and after that, the only thing out of his mouth is really pretty far from words, just grunts muffled by Dean's neck. His right hand grips Dean's thigh, hard. His other sneaks behind Dean's back and fists in his shirt. When Sam's done, he slumps in his seat, head colliding with the passenger side window. Dean wipes his hand on Sam's jeans, they were ruined anyway, and gets back into the driver's seat. Sam's asleep before Dean's even got the motor running. Dean rubs his palm against his thigh. New backwater town, new rundown motel, and this time Sam makes sure they get a king before Dean can protest. He also makes sure to get the shower first thing and then fails to get dressed after it. He slumps down on the bed, water dripping from his hair and a threadbare towel around his hips. Dean wishes he wasn't also on the bed. Sam turns to him, and Dean's got a dozen good excuses ready why they shouldn't have sex tonight, either. But Sam, the evil cheater, is working the puppy dog look to its full effect. "Hey, Dean," he says, like he just got sight of him, his voice thick with seduction. Dean forces his eyes away from his brother's body, stares up into the ceiling. Sam leans over, smiles, droplets of warm water falling onto Dean's clothes and face. Sam may know a dirty trick or two, but Dean's the master. He yawns, stretches his arms above his head, wriggles around a little, and grabs Sam by the shoulders, throws him down on the bed, and rolls on top of him, all in one motion. He lies there, feeling proud of himself for a minute while Sam struggles half-heartedly beneath him, complaining that Dean's crushing him and that he doesn't like being on the bottom. "Tough shit, little brother," Dean says, "'cause my ass isn't available tonight, so if you want to do it..." He lets the sentence hang, grinds down against Sam once, and rubs his thumbs against Sam's wrists. "Fine," Sam spits out after consideration. "And don't say it's your dying wish," he adds. "Wasn't gonna," Dean lies. The sex is good. Not as good as it could be, because Dean's kind of preoccupied, and while Sam may or may not be lying when he claims he doesn't like being fucked, he's a demanding, pushy, uncooperative bottom, and it takes coordination, concentration, and a good amount of strength to keep him where Dean wants him. He learned his lesson after the first four times, all of them starting out good but ending with Dean suddenly and confusingly on his stomach, legs spread into Sam happily pushing his way inside him. So when Sam finally stops bitching and Dean can start fucking him for serious, he's already kind of worn out. Sam falls asleep approximately 4 seconds after he comes, only stays awake long enough to roll away from the wet spot and pull Dean with him. Dean lies awake, brooding. "Why don't you want to sleep with me anymore?" Dean chokes on his coffee. Sam is sitting opposite him, arms crossed and a look on his face that says he's not going to buy any of Dean's bullshit. There's a girl in the next booth. Sam can't see her from where he's sitting, but Dean doesn't think he'd care if he knew she was there. "Don't think I haven't noticed." "I don't know what you're talking about," Dean says. "Also, shut the fuck up." "You haven't let me near you in weeks."
"Days."
"Weeks!" Dean smiles feebly at the girl behind Sam. Her lips twitch a little as she looks away. Dean wants to suggest she go get herself popcorn, because this might just be going on for quite some time. "So me," he lowers his voice, "fucking you 2 nights ago doesn't count as sleeping together anymore, huh?" Sam glares. "You know what I mean, Dean." Dean sighs. "What do you want me to say?" he says, and it's barely a question. Sam stands up and gets out, slamming the door behind him when he leaves the diner. Dean finishes the coffee before he goes after him. Sam hasn't gone anywhere. He is standing right outside, holding the door handle, which, incidentally, is no longer attached to the door. He looks like he doesn't know quite what to do with it. "Okay, time to go," Dean says. "And you can leave that thing behind, unless you need to keep a trinket, Hulk." "Is this why you..." Sam starts, but Dean's shoving him into the passenger seat of the car and closes the door before Sam can finish. Sam is quiet the whole ride back to the motel. When they get there, Dean tells him to do some research or something, pushing a couple of books in his direction. Sam picks one up, but doesn't look at it. He's looking at Dean. "You're afraid of me," he says, almost wonderingly. "Not afraid of you, Sam," Dean replies, busying himself with his duffel bag and its various contents. "You're afraid that I'll hurt you," Sam says, and Dean can just hear his brain is slowly working it out. "That's why you wouldn't..." "Why, I was afraid that you might kill me," Dean corrects, and flails around in a none-too-manly fashion a little bit when Sam just keeps staring at him, expression unreadable. "You've seen what happens with Gordon, with that werewolf, with that fucking door." "You're not serious," Sam says. "I'm afraid," he rolls his eyes like he doesn't really mean it, "that if you get too excited accidentally, you might accidentally..." He cuts himself off, trying to get intonation to make up for his incoherent stuttering. He realizes he needs some support, like literal support, and leans against the back of a chair. Sam's face is still infuriatingly blank. It could be that he's horrified or something, but Dean suspects he's just trying really hard not to laugh. Slowly, Sam gets up from where he's sitting, walking over to Dean. The stupid chair is sitting between them, and Dean is still gripping the back of it, hard. It takes some serious willpower to make himself let go of it, some more to stay calm. Sam kicks the chair aside, gets right up in Dean's space, much too close for comfort. "You're not afraid of me," he says, like a warning. "I said I wasn't afraid of you. I just don't think you've always got control of your..." "You're not afraid of me," Sam repeats, and right now it's kind of hard not to be, when Sam's all giant and towering and psychotic. And hot. But then, just like that, when Dean's just about to admit defeat, whatever defeat is in the situation, he's not really sure. Just like that, Sam's shoulders suddenly sag, and the hard look in his eyes fades away, replaced by the sad puppy dog face. "Dean, he starts, "you're right. Sometimes I lose control. There's like this force or whatever inside me. I don't think it's going to go away, but I can use it, Dean, and you can't be afraid of me. Not you." Dean huffs and shuffles his feet. He hates that pleading note in Sam's voice. Hates it because he knows he doesn't have a chance against it. Sam keeps talking in the same tone, but Dean isn't listening anymore, because Sam's moving even closer as he speaks, until his words are nothing but hypnotic mumblings against Dean's cheek, lips, then nothing but breath and his brother's tongue in his mouth. Dean resists him for a while, but they both know it's just for show. As soon as Dean gives in, eyes closing, mouth opening up a fraction more, Sam's arms come up to wrap around him, and then he's being maneuvered across the room and pushed down onto the bed. "Besides," Sam says a minute later, out of the blue, pausing in the middle of pulling Dean's pants off, "what'd you imagine I'd do? Fuck you to death?" "Not funny," Dean grumbles. "Really not funny," he adds, when Sam seems to think it really is. "You know what you're like when we do this, and you're yourself." Sam looks blank. "What do you mean, what I'm like?" Dean sighs, irritated, bats Sam immobile hands away and gets his pants off by himself. "You're not exactly," he pauses, wishes there was another way to say this, "gentle. Laugh and I'll punch you in the face," he adds when Sam's eyebrows shoot up. He closes his eyes for a second, clearing his head. Then he pushes Sam away, sits up. He pulls his shirt off and tosses it to the side of the bed. "This is you, without superpowers," he says, matter-of-fact, watching Sam stare at him, uncomprehending, until his gaze falls on the bruises on Dean's arm. They're faded a greenish color now, not red anymore, but they're still there. "But it's been days since..." "That's what I'm telling you, dude." "I'm sorry," Sam says, and he really sounds it, reaching for Dean hesitantly, like he's not sure he's allowed to touch anymore. Dean rolls his eyes. "It's all right. No big deal. Just don't fucking laugh at me." "Sorry," Sam says again and tries to sneak a hug when Dean pulls him in for a grope and possibly some more making out. "So can I fuck you now if I promise not to get too excited?" "Shut up." "I'll be very gentle." "I said, shut up."